This week's Parsha is so much to talk about. Ten Commandments, Parsha Yisro, so much going on, and Zohar to be here with the top of you guys. Hopefully I'll get a chance to speak at some of these topics. And hear from some of you guys about some of these topics as well. Over the course of Shabbos, we have an exciting, hopefully, question-and-answer panel with our statement and I and our children and our boys, part of the panel. So we'll be able to have a fun Shabbos together. Yeah, they have a lot to say about it. You can add a lot to say about it. Especially my little kid, he's a lot to say about this topic. Seriously, he does though. But I'll talk about something much more peripheral to Parsha, but I think very essential to us. Again, the Sarsa Dibros is so much going on, and so much we can speak about, and it's so crucial, and it's important to hear over Shabbos, and before, I'm sure, as well. But I just want to touch upon the smallest idea and analyze what in the world was up with this. We're told right away, Yisro hears what happened, and he comes with Moshe's family, Moshe's wife, Moshe's children, and we're told the Moshe's children's names. Listen to the names. V'eishnei banam, perkei ches pasuk gimel. The first oldest son's name is Gershom, seemingly. And he named him that because he was a foreigner in a foreign land. Referring to? What land? Midjan. He was a foreigner in Midjan. V'shema Echad Eliezer. Ki Elokea vi Ebezri. That's the name of Chereparo. And the second son's name is Eliezer. Why? Because the God of my father was help me and save me from the cherub of Paro, from the near death when Paro, Moshe Rabbeinu, killed the Mitzri, and Paro's henchmen tracked him down, and the Medrash says that they took him to be executed, and his neck turned to stone, turned to marble, and the whatever they used, the machete ricocheted off it, and he was able to escape and lived happily, not ever, but he lived happily after. What in the world is with the order of those names? What happened first? Which of those two happened first? He was saved, and he became a ger after that. Wouldn't it make sense to name them in that order? A small idea, but why would he name his first son for what happened in his life second? And the second son, what happens in his life first? Doesn't make so much sense. So I want to use this as just a quick discussion. I know it's too much already passed, but I do want to use Tu B'Shvat as well, just as a part of this, just smooth, so appreciate the part of the year up to right now. Even though it's the day passed, but the year time period is current. And I want to tell you why I think it matters so much, especially to us that are here right now. So, the Sforno has that very interesting line. Until Paro dies, Sforno brings down, until Paro dies, there is no, you know, he's not saved yet. He was saved, like if you escape people in the Holocaust, they escaped, you know, this fear and that moment and this attack, and they hid there. Like we had recently, they had this whole thing with Anne Frank. I guess following all the Anne Frank, the recent Anne Frank business. They're trying to figure out a cold case. Who's the one who ratted her out? They think. They have a thought. A cold case. The detectives. A certain Jewish businessman. They think ratted Anne Frank and her family out. Okay, it's the new book they're putting out with this discussion. This theory. So now she was saved by a lot of different moments. She had this place she hid, but she wasn't saved in the end. She died. So how can you possibly say in the end that I was saved from Paro's sword until the story's over with Paro, which only happens later in life? So first, it makes sense then to name your first child, you know, whatever is currently going on, before you are confident that you've been saved. That's shot number one. That's what it brings down. It was just a technicality. You don't call someone being saved until you know how the story is going to end. And he was safe in that moment, but maybe he wouldn't be a full-on safe. Okay. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh has different shot. And he says, it's also an important idea to think about. He says that sometimes in life, you want to focus on the present and not be so worried about the past or the future. So it's true that Moshe Rabbeinu was saved in the past, but if you live off the past or into the future, then you lose the present. There's actually a Hebrew phrase like that. It says, "Havar ayin," past is no longer here. "V'hatid adayin," the future is not yet here. "V'hova kerev ayin," the present is that is now was past. It's past now. Even that's now past. That is past. I'm not going to do that. The past. And then it says the last part of that phrase is, Daga minayin, what are you worried about? What's it to be worried about? Whatever happened already, it's over. Future isn't even here yet. This moment, it's a moment. What are you worried about it? Nothing to worry about. But a different way of saying that over is we're so fixated on either, you know, what we did already or what's coming around next that we don't appreciate the moment we're in right now. We don't appreciate it. Whether it be people, for example, I'll give you an example of this, how this comes up. People, let's say, the yeshiva here in Israel, they apply to colleges during the yeshiva here in Israel. And it's like a stressful time, and they're busy, you know, they're busy trying to prepare for college. They're filling out applications. I remember there was a guy even when I was in yeshiva, when I was teaching a few years ago, he had to do interviews. It wasn't from America, so it was like whatever system it was. He had to do interviews in person. And he had to leave Israel to go do interviews. It took like a week to go through all the places he was interviewing in, and he came back afterwards. Whether better or worse, it doesn't really matter. The point is that his present suffered for his future. And almost everything we do in life is what happens. You're in a moment right now, and you're trying to plan for what happens next, and you miss the moment. And then you lost it. And then it's just, you can't get it back again. And by the way, the next moment, when you get to college later on, you missed college days to interview for your job. So the future affected the present once again. And then when you're, and then you play it forward, so on and so forth. At some point in time, you're in a moment. You live in the moment. It is very hard to sit in the morning Seder for 2 hours in a row and think it's hard. But it's not hard to sit right now. It's not hard. And right now, it's not hard either. It's when you focus on what is coming later on and is overwhelming to you. And what will happen if this, who knows what happens? So many kids come into the yeshiva experience saying, well, I don't want to, I'm afraid if I do X, Y, and Z, it'll lead to A, B, and C. It might not, but you're not going to do X, Y, and Z anymore. Then you miss the moment. What are you doing here? I'll never forget one time I was in Florida, and I was doing I was selected, or whatever bad word I can use for the word selected, because it wasn't a great selection. I was given the opportunity slash obligation to speak in a Shavuos night in a Reform temple. I don't care about the Reform part, but it was 5 miles away from where I live. Oh. Right, and it's Florida in the summertime. It was nighttime, but it's still hot in Florida nighttime in the summertime. And it was crazy. I had no choice. It was a job that was given to me by my boss. And I tried turning him down, and he didn't take no for an answer. So to describe what happened, I had to walk through a bad part of town. It's called East Boca.
Yeah.
Whatever. And I was followed for my 5 mile walk back home by a police car with an attack dog in it. In case someone jumped me, they would be there to protect me from getting jumped. So, like, that's ridiculous, first of all. But that was what happened. And it's 5 miles, and I'm so hot, and it's like, forget the fact that I'm walking through dangerous neighborhoods, and there's a police car. I don't want to jump in the back of that dog. I like dogs, like, I don't want to attack dog. Like, they'll attack me. Like, I'd rather get stuck by the guy who's outside. I don't think that dog's moving. I'm worried about him also. At the end of the day, I'm walking back, thinking nothing happened. And it's like, you know, I don't know, an hour and a half of heat in the summertime, I'm wearing my suit. And I'm like, so, like, stuck. I'm like, So much to go. And I started playing a little game with myself. A little game. The streets have cracks in them. And I raced myself to the next crack. It was like a 3 second walk, really. But I'm like, okay, next crack, and I did it. Next thing I knew, I was home. Because I wasn't like, oh my gosh, I have so much to do. I have three, just get to the next crack. And then I got there. And I raced myself to the next crack. And then I got there. And the next thing you know, I was home. 5 miles later. And it sounds silly and childish, but it really happened because I wasn't so worried what happens later. I was worried about just this moment right now. Just do this thing now properly. If you do that, things become easier because things that we're so not sure what's going to be later on become clear when I'm in the moment now. I know what to do usually now. I don't do later. I know what to do now. So do now. And when later becomes now, you don't do now. It's the new now. It's so much easier. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling about his kid the now name. Focus on what you have. Right now you're a Gerayis. You get through that now. Later on you cover what happened in the past or what's coming in the future. It's an unbelievable way to address things in life that's so intimidating. You know what? What's going to be? I have no idea what's going to be. But I know what's going on right now. I can do this now and see what happens later on. Maybe things come clear to me. There's so many times I'm giving advice to a guy who's dating. And he goes on a third date. One of my friends called it third date fatigue. For some reason, third date may be a fatigue time. Day one, I was excited. Day two, little Lord. Third, like, oh, whatever. What's that? Yeah, third moment, third day, it's always a painful one. He's like, I don't know if I'm working, I don't want to marry this girl. I was like, marry the girl? Just you want to go on a fourth date or not? Like, I'm not talking about giving your hand in marriage yet. That's way down the line. But what if? I said, I don't care what if. There's a simple question here. Is this a fourth day worthy? That's it. Don't worry about the next part of life. We get so stuck. Next part of life that we're not able to focus on what we have in front of us right now. But the part I want to focus on, really, the last part I want to share with you, and I'll end with this point. And my favorite shot of this is the Moshe Feinstein, the Drash Moshe, is the following shot on this discussion. He says, it's not worth. Imagine the following scene. Moshe Rabbeinu gets saved from Paro's sword, and then he goes to Midian. He becomes an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Like everyone else was there. Yisro, we know, was Mamash, the best Ovid Avodah Zarah out there. He served every single idol out there. That's why he was so, in this part, he was so confident. Now we know God is the God. How do you know God's the God? He tried every other one, and it wasn't. Now he knows. Moshe could have become that. So Moshe says himself, was it worth me to be saved in the first place from the sword of power? Was it worth it? Well, depends what happens to me in the end. The fact that you're alive physically does not make it worth anything. There was this concept, this idea that we're alive, we're physically active and alive, but we do nothing with alive sometimes. So it makes, I mentioned getting muscle before of you guys, remember when you give someone money, $100, $1,000, $100,000, and you know exactly which bills you gave, and the person gives it back to you the same exact $100,000 in the same envelope you gave it to him. Like, what? You playing with me here? I gave you a lot of money and you didn't even use it? I asked for a loan, give me a loan. A person who lives a life where he does nothing with it. You give Hashem, and you give it right back to him the same package he gave it to you. Not at all advanced, not at all worked on. What's the point? Moshe can't say quite yet that it was worth him to be saved yet. Because it depends on what he does now. It's not worth it sometimes. Someone, imagine the times, Nebuch, not Loleinu. A parent will pay for his child's Jewish education from kindergarten until 12th grade, yeshiva in Israel, going to whatever college it is, and again, the kid marries a non-Jew. So the parent will look back, God forbid. The parent looks back and says, it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth the money. And did he right to say that? Because after everything you would hope and pray that your kid would turn out a certain way, so it didn't plan out. So is it worth it? Well, you don't know sometimes if it's worth a sacrifice until you see how this story ends. Paro here almost killed Moshe Rabbeinu, and he survived it to become what? A great architect? Okay. A construction worker, a lawyer, a doctor. It's not worth it until you know that what you ended up turning into was worth it. So when he says first, because Ger Ha'isi, which means I've never one time accepted being a Midian as my people. It's not my people. I'm a foreigner in a foreign land. Only then, when you have an attitude that lasts through life, can you look back at the first time you were saved and say, you know what? That's something to be blessing God for also. Because something called the Ben Sora Umora. You know what that is, the Ben Sora Umora? The wayward child, the rebellious child. What's the halacha? You kill him when he's young. When he's 13 years old, you kill him. Why? For crimes he will commit in the future. Not he might, he will commit in the future. Because it's not worth it. It's not worth it to be alive. You're doing it for the guy's sake, the kid's sake. You spared him the pain of being a bad person. It hadn't got to that stage. You spared him. You saved his neshama. It's not worth it to be alive, Stam. To be alive, to get something, to do something, to grow. That's worth it. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, until I am confident that I'm in a good place, I can't reflect on what happened to me and be proud of it quite yet. Or be thankful quite yet. Maybe I should be thankful. Maybe it's better if I wouldn't have made it. So he first described that he was a Ger Ha'isi, Beres Lakra. He did never assimilate it into his community. He always stayed separate. And then, because that happens, he's able to now give a second child's name and say thank you back in the day for what you saved me for. Tu B'Shvat is a time we celebrate because it's a time when the potential has been the sap into the tree, into the fruit, it starts to develop. It's sitting there and it's ready to be growing and developing. This part of the year, in the Jewish calendar, precedes Purim, precedes Pesach, this potential and future that's out there. And the yeshiva experience, certainly this part of the year, is a time when not you start picking up, God forbid, but things that you've been working on for the last X amount of months are supposed to start coming clearer to you, easier for you, working together. And now that you've been building up with a sap, and it's supposed to be blossoming into a beautiful tree. And there's two problems that could happen. You didn't put the effort to be at the sap in the first place, and you haven't been building. And just as bad is that you did. But you plucked it too prematurely, you ripened up, you plucked too prematurely, you gave up, you didn't see it through to the end, because, you know, whatever, it was good, but I had so much more I wanted to do, and you plucked it off the tree, and it tastes sour still. The goal we have in life, and this year is just a small example of it, is live in the moment we're supposed to be living for. Those two struggles we had. Live in the moment, and for what the point of living is for. When that is your reality, then you can say with great confidence that the future holds a lot of great things for it. You know, I had no clue, and I was the point. I had no plans or clue that this would be where I would end up when I'm 46 years old. When I was in your position, this was the farthest thing from my mind. Farthest. I didn't decide to do this. I decided to spend a day a certain way, and then the next day a certain way, until life took wherever it took me. And I mentored my decisions, and it turned out different ways than I did. You don't need to make life decisions or hold yourself back because you're afraid of what it means in the future. You need to make a decision about right this moment. Am I ready to give this moment in time to my Chavrusa? That's it. And then when that moment's finished, how about the next moment? And at some point, the answer will be, no, I'm not ready. I need a break. Then you take your break then. And that's, and you go back and you do it again. If you live every moment for that moment, it's so much, you're chasing a crack that's 3 seconds away from you. You can do that. It's very doable. Today in sports all the time, you're now at 15 points in the fourth quarter. Try to cut it to 7 by the 4 minute mark. It's what they just whittle it away. You can't hit a 15 point shot. Don't try, just whittle it away. When you're in a moment in life, just spend the moment. If someone's bottling, say, no, we're in the moment. This is our moment. Let's not lose the moment right now. And enough of those moments put together makes the most unbelievable product, which is supposed to be you. When the fruit blossoms and it grows. And it's all the time building up towards that. Again, it's a big parsha ahead of us. But it only gets there because Moshe Rabbeinu recognized that a moment in time is for now. I got to focus on it. Don't be worried about what happens later on. Give me this chance to do well. Now, life will play itself out the way where God will give us, hopefully, the experiences and the inspiration we need for our future, for ourselves, for our families. Have a great job.